I walked toward the palace on the plains, zipping my jacket against the air, which had turned frosty. It was 4:15. The commons didn't officially open until 5, so the paths which met in Bennett's Run were almost deserted. Stoke Jones was there, though, hunched over his crutches and brooding down at something on the path. I wasn't surprised to see him. If you had some sort of physical disability, you could chow an hour earlier than the rest of the students. As far as I remember, that was about the only special treatment the handicapped got. If you were physically fucked up, you got to eat with the kitchen help. That sparrow track on the back of his coat was very clear and very black in the late light. As I got closer to him, I saw what he was looking down at. Introduction to Sociology. He had dropped it on the faded red bricks of Bennett's Walk and was trying to figure a way he could pick it up again without landing on his face. He kept poking at the book with the tip of one crutch. Stoke had 2, maybe even 3 different pairs of crutches. These were the ones that fitted over his forearms in a series of ascending steel collars. I could hear him muttering, "rip, rip, rip, rip," under his breath as he prodded the book uselessly from place to place. When he was plunging along on his crutches, "rip, rip" had a determined sound. In this situation, it sounded frustrated. At the time I knew Stoke, I will not call him Rip Rip, although many Ronnie imitators had taken to doing so by the end of the semester. I was fascinated by how many different nuances there could be to any given Rip Rip. That was before I found out that the Navajos have 40 different ways of saying their word for cloud. That was before I found out a lot of things, actually. He heard me coming and snapped his head around so fast he almost fell over anyway. I reached out to steady him. He jerked back, seeming to swim in the old army duffel coat he was wearing. "Get away from me!" As if he expected me to give him a shove, I raised my hands to show him I was harmless and bent over. "And get your hands off my book!" This I didn't dignify, only picked up the text and stuffed it under his arm like a newspaper. "I don't need your help." I was about to reply sharply, but I noticed again how white his cheeks were around the patches of red in their centers, and how his hair was damp with perspiration. Once again I could smell him, that overworked transformer aroma, and realized I could also hear him. His breathing had a raspy, snotty sound. If Stoke Jones hadn't found out where the infirmary was yet, I had an idea he would before long. I didn't offer you a piggyback, for God's sake. I tried to paste a smile on my puss and managed something or other. Hell, why shouldn't I smile? Didn't I have 9 bucks in my pocket that I hadn't started the day with? By the standards of Chamberlain 3, I was rich.